Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Mac Dominic continues revealing from Scripture the spirits of the Watchers. And then a little later, Dr. Larry Spargimino will answer an important question about biblical stewardship. Friends, we are less than 1 month away from our next Prophecy in the News live event, August 16th and 17th at Hillspring Church in New Prague, Minnesota. Come hear the latest One World update, examine biblical artifacts from Israel, and learn about the earth before the flood. You'll learn how to have victory in the invisible war on the saints and discover the truth behind the secret societies. Speakers at this special event include Dr. Larry Spargimino, Micah Van Hus, Josh Davis, Larry Stamm, Greg Patton, and Clayton Van Hus. Tickets are free, but seating is limited, so please register today by visiting our website, swrc.com, and click on Events. You can also register by calling 1-800-652-1144. Prophecy in the News Live, August 16th and 17th in New Prague, Minnesota. In June, we held our first ever Mysteries of the Bible Verse event in Cincinnati. One of the featured speakers was Mac Dominic. Today, we're going to continue listening to the presentation he gave there entitled, Jesus and the Spirits of the Watchers.
We see this word Elohim, and we need to be careful because there are times in our Old Testaments that the word Elohim is translated other things, like the word judges. You know, what I can't really understand for people that say, oh, well, that's translated Elohim, but it's really human judges, mostly in the book of Exodus, where Moses was having people come to the tabernacle to come before God, Elohim, to make a judgment on something that they were doing, and it's translated in our Bibles, judges. I don't understand, if it was supposed to be judges, why it wasn't the Hebrew word for judges, because there is a Hebrew word for judges that occurs all but three or four times, and so why would they translate Elohim as judges? It's because whoever was on the translation committee for these translations was not thinking of the supernatural world. We have to understand that our Bibles are a supernatural book. And we need to start reading and studying and thinking like it is a supernatural book or something that was written last week just for us. It's not the case. It is supernatural, and we need to understand that's what we are holding when we hold the Word of God. It is a book that far surpasses anything any man could ever write. It is God's word. It comes from God. It's supernatural, and we are so privileged to have it because it's how we as mere mortals can come to know an almighty, infinite God. And it's unreal. It is such a privilege that we have, but so many people want to debase the Word of God to some mere work of moral individuals. It's just not the case. It is God's Word, and we need to start thinking in those terms when we read and study it. Okay, so that is the word Elohim. So when we see B'nai Ha Elohim, we have to understand that these are angels. There are other theories as to what these sons of God did with the daughters of men did. We're not going to get into that. We do have out on the table our DVDs on the sons of God and the Nephilim. We go into all those theories. We go into all the arguments and all that stuff. I think it's 4 hours worth of it. So, but we go into all that here. We're just going to back up and say we're only going to look at the supernatural view of what's going on here and not look at any other theories, because we're going to stick to the text, quite frankly, and that's what we're going to do. So These sons of God, the B'nai HaElohim, they took human women, they had intimate relations with human women, and they bore this race of hybrids, the Nephilim, the giants. They also shared the forbidden knowledge that came from the spirit realm and corrupted the human race. So when we read 1 Peter, when we read 2 Peter, when we read Jude, we need to read that with the understanding that these spirits in prison were these entities, these watchers, these creatures from the spirit realm that disobeyed God and did some very serious damage to humanity and tried to corrupt the human race. Actually, a lot of what they were trying to do was to prevent the coming of this Messiah as prophesied in Genesis 3:15. But basically, that's what they were doing. But we can learn a little bit more about them if we go outside the Word of God. Now, we need to be careful because we have to realize when we go outside to cultural documentation, to other documentation on these things, that we're not dealing with Scripture. So I don't want you to think, oh, he's up there saying that this is on par with the Word. No, I am not saying any of this is on par with the Word of God, but we can learn a lot by looking at other ancient Near East documents. And the main one we want to look at in this case is the Book of Enoch. Now, I don't know, have any of you ever read the Book of Enoch? Okay, good. It's quite an interesting book because even though we are told it was written just 300 years or so before the time of Christ, it almost reads like New Testament in some areas. You know, the Book of Jude quotes Enoch and it says the Lord will come with 10,000 of his saints. Well, that sounds like New Testament to me. And there are other passages I'm not going to go into for the sake of time, but we have to realize with the Book of Enoch, it is not the inspired Word of God. So we really need to keep it in its place as something that lines up with the Word of God, but is not the inspired Word of God. It is Jewish literature from the Second Temple period. Now, 300 BC, 100 BC, somewhere in that range of for the Book of Enoch. I put a question mark on that because of this next point, that it was quoted by Jude. And Jude quoted this line from 1 Enoch chapter 1 and verse 9. And Jude said, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Well, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because if we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, we almost have to look at this and say, well, golly, you know, maybe Enoch himself actually did write this because it is in our Bible. Are we going to look at it as inspired Scripture? You know, I get a little bit concerned and frankly a little disturbed from scholars that will make statements like, well, you know, Peter and Jude were very familiar with the Book of Enoch because, look, they quoted it and they talked about it. Well, yes, they could have been, but what about the fact that God told Peter and Jude what Enoch said or the things that they referred to? That's the part that gets me. Now some scholars that I have a lot of respect for would say, well, that's just X-Files inspiration. No, we know that the inspiration of Scripture, and I believe in plenary verbal inspiration, that we believe the words were God-breathed, that men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They used their minds. They wrote in the context of their culture and all of those things. But there were times, obviously, that God dictated certain things. The Holy Spirit dictated and they wrote it down. But Because some of the prophets, especially when you look at the Old Testament prophets, it's obvious that they were writing things down that they had no clue what they were writing about. But God gave them the words to write. So we need to be really careful when we talk about the inspiration of Scripture. But this one, this I just find very interesting that Jude said Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied this. Well, if the Bible says it, I kind of believe it's true, don't you? And so we cannot look at the book of Enoch as inspired scripture, but everything, there is nothing in the first Enoch that talks about the watchers and about this whole event of these angels coming and having wives and having children. There's nothing that contradicts the Word of God. It goes hand in hand with it. And that's the way, and that's the position we're going to take. We're not going to say that Enoch was the inspired Word of God. We're not saying that this quote by Jude makes Enoch the inspired Word of God. I'm just saying we just have to really consider that Enoch may have written this himself because the Bible says he did. But what happened with the book of Enoch, it was declared a fake by Hilary, Jerome, and Augustine, discredited by the Council of Laodicea, banned by the authorities shortly thereafter, and subsequently was lost to Christendom for more than 1,000 years. Scottish explorer James Bruce traveled to Ethiopia in 1773, responding to a rumor that there were copies there, and he returned with three of them. But the problem is, see, we can't really include Enoch in the Old Testament because there is no Hebrew, there is no witness of Enoch in the Hebrew. And that's a problem. That was a problem for the Jews. It should be a problem for us. There is no witness in the Hebrew. Now, they found fragments in Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, Syriac, Latin, and the language of Ethiopia, because the Ethiopian church actually has Enoch in their Bible. Enoch says that 200 watchers descended to Mount Hermon in the days of Jared, okay? Mount Hermon is the tallest mountain in the area of Israel. It is in what we call the border of the Golan Heights, up in the north of Israel on the border with Syria. It is in the region that we call Bashan. Let me give you another little hint here about the Old Testament. Anytime you're reading through your Old Testament and you see that word Bashan, you better sit up and take notice, because Bashan is the land of the serpent. It is denoted as an evil place in the Old Testament. I think Derek's probably going to talk about all kinds of things that are in Bashan. And we know that when Moses, you know, it's interesting, when Moses brought the children of Israel into the promised land, they didn't come into the south and immediately cross the Jordan River at Jericho. They went all the way up north to defeat Sihon and Og. In what region? The region of Bashan. And so the Bashan is rife with spiritual goings on that we really, as Westerners, don't have a good grasp of. So whenever you see that word Bashan in the Old Testament, please sit up, take notice, because something is going on. So they descended, 200 watchers descended to Mount Hermon. They engendered the Nephilim with the human women. They taught forbidden knowledge to human beings. They were imprisoned in Tartarus. Actually, the book of Enoch says they were imprisoned by Michael. Michael the archangel actually was the one that threw them in there before the flood. And the prison, and it's interesting, the book of Enoch says the prison term will last until the end of days, or 70 generations, or 10,000 years. It's very, very interesting that it tells us that. Oh, one other little ditty that you may be interested in, this crowd may be interested in. Guess who has a base on Mount Hermon? Anybody know who has a base on Mount Hermon? Anybody know? Micah, you know? Who is it? What? United Nations. The UN the UN has a base on Mount Hermon. As a matter of fact, they claim it is the highest altitude base of the UN in the world. Now, why would they do that? Because Mount Hermon is where the Watchers descended. Mount Hermon was the center, and Mount Hermon, again, became something. And we'll deal with this more tomorrow. Mount Hermon became a place that was noted with evil. Mount Hermon's a bad place. Let's go on. All right, so we got this. Since Jesus was in the spiritual dimension, these spirits are obviously supernatural entities. These disobedient entities went on the earth in the days of Noah prior to the flood, and thus there are no other biblical candidates for the passage other than the disobedient sons of God, the Watchers in Genesis 6. What did Jesus preach to them? Did he preach, oh, your sins can be forgiven and we'll take you to meet with me in heaven? No. Jesus went and preached that they were doomed. You see, the whole plot of the Watchers was to disrupt the plan of God, the plan for the kingdom of God, the plan of the coming Messiah. The whole plan was to disrupt God's plan. Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. He went to the Watchers and he said that your plan did not work, you were doomed, you encouraged all of these other evil entities to kill me and crucify me, but guess what? In 3 days, I'm leaving and you're staying. That is what he preached to the Watchers. Will they ever be released? Yes. In Revelation chapter 9 in the King James Bible, we read about the locusts that will be released onto the earth. These locusts are coming out of the abyss. That is where the spirits of the Watchers are. They will be released as locusts in the tribulation period. And finally, it will not end well for them, because when Jesus' term comes back, look at this. This is from the ESV in Isaiah 24. In that day, the Lord will punish the host of heaven in heaven and the kings on the earth. In other words, spiritual evil, spiritual forces, and kings of the earth who attack Jerusalem will all die at Armageddon. If we had time to go into it, we'd talk about Psalm 82. But look here, it says in the last couple verses, I have said ye are gods, that's the word Elohim, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men as one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, and thou shalt inherit the nations. We know that at Armageddon, Jesus Christ will return, judge the evil on the earth, but not only the evil on the earth, the evil from the spirit realm and the Watchers who have been released out of the abyss. And there is being immortal, but then there's being immortal, because they're going to die. They're going to die and be condemned to the lake of fire forever. Okay, what can we conclude from what we've talked about this morning? Number one, when Jesus died, he descended into Tartarus, where these angels were chained. He proclaimed his victory over all the evil entities with his payment for sin by his atoning death on the cross. He preached that their doom was sealed and announced the kingdom plan was on schedule. He was leaving, but they were staying. Peter and Jude conveyed this via the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The account of the imprisoned spirits is not found in the Hebrew Bible, but is recorded in detail in the book of Enoch. And finally, the Watchers, the beast, the false prophet, and all the forces of evil who joined the fight against Messiah and his heavenly army will be annihilated at the Battle of Armageddon. This will exclude a couple of them. We'll talk about that later. But the rest of them will be totally annihilated. That last verse in Psalm 82, where it says, "Arise, O God, and inherit the nations." The evil sons of God today that are still over the nations. But when Jesus defeats them at the Battle of Armageddon, he will inherit the nations. And we know when we read Psalm 82 that that is talking about the second person of the Godhead. We need to see Jesus in the Old Testament as well. But we've got to see Jesus. But think about it a minute. It says, "Arise, O God, inherit the nations." Now, if any of you are, a lot of us are older. I'm 72 years old, and I know we've got a little bit of an older crowd. We have wills where our children will inherit what we leave when we depart this earth if the rapture doesn't come first. But the inheritance goes to who? The inheritance goes to the Son. We see Jesus in Psalm 82 of the Old Testament because God the Father will leave the inheritance to the Son. Arise, O God, inherit the nations, and he will rule over all the nations.
We've been listening to Mac Dominic and his presentation entitled Jesus and the Spirits of the Watchers. This presentation was first given at our recent Mysteries of the Bible Verse event. Now, the entire Mysteries of the Bible Verse event is available on DVD. All the speakers, all the presentations, all together in one collection. Derek Gilbert, Rudy Landa, Micah Van Hus, Greg Patton, Michael Hoggard, Josh Davis, and Mac Dominic. Order the Mysteries of the Bible Verse DVD set today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order this DVD set at our website, swrc.com. Mysteries of the Bible Verse, the complete event on DVD. 1-800-652-1144. Our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino, is here to answer an important question about stewardship. Pastor Larry, what is biblical stewardship?
Most people who have been to church associate the word stewardship with giving some kind of a donation. A stewardship campaign is often a label applied to an effort to raise funds for a new building or some special project. That, however, misses the main meaning of what stewardship really is. A steward is a person who manages someone else's property. A good definition of stewardship is the management of resources belonging to another in order to achieve the wishes of the owner. In a day when people speak of my house, my car, we have to ask, who owns everything? The Bible is very clear. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it." We too belong to someone else. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 asks, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God." There are four basic principles of biblical stewardship. First, there is the principle of divine ownership. People who litter the countryside with beer cans and candy wrappers are insulting God. He owns it all. Second, there is the principle of personal responsibility. We all have a responsibility to the owner. This is God's world. He gives us the privilege of enjoying his property. We must use it according to his purposes and for his glory. Third, there is the principle of accountability. We'll all have to answer to the owner for what kind of stewards we have been. One day, the owner is coming back. How would the pastor whom I mentioned feel if he came back to his home and it was a mess? The lawn has now turned to weeds. The garage is filled with junk so that the pastor cannot get his car into the garage. And where is his pet dog? He can't find his dog. Fourth, there is the principle of reward. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 tells us that we ought to work with all our hearts, quote, "since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." There is another aspect of stewardship, and that is our stewardship of time. Time is very important to God. Ephesians 5:16 says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." That really means do not waste time. We need to take advantage of every opportunity for serving the Lord. Time is short and time is precious. It is a gift from God. Every person has been given a certain number of days on the earth. We must not waste God's gift. Wasting time is poor management of time. Then there is also a stewardship of people. Now, what does that mean? Well, at certain times in our lives, we are entrusted with someone else as a stewardship, maybe a son or a daughter, a Sunday school class, or some other group of people. At key points in our lives, teachers, mentors, coaches stewarded us. We were someone else's responsibility. Hopefully, they took their stewardship responsibilities very seriously. If you understand what stewardship really is, you can read the Gospels more meaningfully. Jesus taught us that if we are good stewards of a little, He will make us stewards of much. In Luke 16, verse 12, Jesus said, "If you have not been faithful in that which belongs to someone else, who will give you that which is your own?" I believe that if more Christians understood the principle of biblical stewardship, it would have a radical effect on their lives. I want to encourage everyone to read the Bible very carefully and to look at what it says about stewardship. It's quite dramatic, quite profound, and amazing. It will be an eye-opening revelation to you.
In our first segment today, we heard Mac Dominic's presentation on Jesus and the Spirits of the Watchers. To learn more from Mac Dominic, we have the four-part DVD series, Deliver Us from Evil. All four of these DVDs will unveil the interdimensional rebellion, retribution, and reconciliation from creation to the kingdom. Inside these DVDs, you'll learn about the birth of the gods, the portal to the abyss that is slammed shut by God, and the forces of evil. Hours and hours of instruction on these topics are yours when you order the Deliver Us from Evil collection by Mac Dominic. All four of these DVDs can be yours with a gift of $60 or more. Simply call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144 and order your copy today. Tomorrow, we begin a brand new series with Donald Perkins that will help you and I truly understand the book of Revelation. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app, visiting oneplace.com, pray.com, or sermonaudio.com. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. Visit swrc.com. We'll be right back.